Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 109, recorded on November 17th, 2010. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators. I'm Michael Johnston, and we're here talking about the iPhone, the iPod Touch, the iPad, iOS, iTunes, App Store, and all that fun stuff. With me, as always, is Mr. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. It seems like it's been a while since we've done this, but I think it's only been a week, right?
It's only been a week.
I think I may be having memory problems. Yeah,
or
time
not.
Flies. Something.
Or crawls.
Yeah.
As the case may be in this time around.
Right, exactly. Jeff Gamet's also here from the Mac.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jeff. How do you feel about the time since we last did this?
It feels like it's been forever and yet only a day.
Okay, good. I'm glad you sort of agree with me.
Now, to be fair, I really don't have a sense of time. So we could have recorded a show like an hour ago.
And, we did, yeah.
And I really wouldn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. So I guess we're kind of all on the same page as far as not knowing the time, right? So,
and I don't wear a watch, huh?
Yeah, neither do I. Interesting. Okay, so let's jump right into it. The first thing that we have to talk about is AirPrint and how it was not added with our macOS 10.6.5 update, right? So 10.6.5 rolled out. I think we were all expecting to see AirPrint included in that. And for those who don't know what AirPrint is, it's the ability for iOS 4.2 devices to print wirelessly to your Mac, right? Or to your Mac or your PC. Or was it only a Mac feature?
To printers connected to your Mac or PC.
Correct.
Shared via Bonjour.
Yes.
And also printers that support HP's ePrint on your local network.
Right. So yeah.
That's a direct print, so you won't need a host computer.
Right.
For the ePrint supported printers. There's not very many of those though, right, Jeff?
Yeah, there's like I think 8, maybe 10.
Yeah.
So
although the cheapest one is $99. Sorry, I keep cutting you off,
I know.
Michael.
I wonder if anybody realizes
that
that happens.
It's all right when you're cutting Michael off. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Michael.
Huh?
Go.
Okay. So 10.6.5 rolled out, and AirPrint was included in the betas that Apple was providing to developers in order to test their AirPrint applications. However, it was reported right before 10.6.5 actually rolled out that we would not see AirPrint included, and of course, it is not. It only works with the HP printers, correct?
Right. Now, to be fair, that is an AirPrint feature. So there is still some AirPrint support.
Right. AirPrint does exist in some form.
Right.
But not in the promised form.
It's just the printer sharing that was going to be an option in macOS 10.6.5. That's not there anymore.
Correct. Yeah. So obviously, iOS 4.2 has not been rolled out yet. However, I have 4.2 on my iPad, and so I've been waiting on it and, you know, playing with it and stuff like that. There is a way for you to enable it on iOS 10.6.5, as pointed out by, I believe, 9to5 Mac. They have a nice little how-to. I feel like it might not be complete because some people were saying it didn't work for them, and I think that some permissions things needed to be added into that guide, such as making sure the permissions are correct. But essentially what you do is there are a set of files, I think 3 or 4, from a beta that were saved by someone and relayed to 9to5. And these files enable AirPrint for all printers connected to your Mac. And I've actually tried it, and it works. It's very cool.
Is it magical?
I would say it's almost magical, yeah. Just like the iPad, right?
Yeah.
So why do we think that it wasn't included?
I have a feeling that there was some type of licensing issue somewhere along the way. And that so it's an administrative thing and not a technical thing. That's just my hunch.
Licensing due to what kind of licensing? Like,
I have no idea. Maybe yeah. there's a patent licensing issue with something to do with the protocols. I don't know. But if excuse me, if everything was working fine, and then the features just suddenly not there, and mention of it has gone away. That makes me think that that this may be more of a administrative thing than a technical thing, especially because it was working fine for people that had the betas.
Right. Right. Do we know what technology it's based on top of? I mean, that the some of the files that you need to put back in place are CUPS files, which
I'm not
is
familiar
you
with
know
that.
Common Unix Printing Support. Is that what it stands for?
Or system.
Like open source stuff.
Yeah.
Printing system. Yeah. Common or Unix printing system or something like that.
Okay,
common.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's open source. So you would think there wouldn't be any licensing issues there. But there's right. probably something going on in the conversion of whatever is on the iPad to some sort of format, right? Because the other thing that's in there is I think one of the CUPS files is a filter called URTFO PDF.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I guess that's URF2 PDF.
Correct. If
I'm reading it correctly. So what is URF?
Googling.
Good question. I mean, we know what the PDF part is.
So maybe that's where the licensing comes into play.
Yeah, but
Apple should already.
excuse me, creating a PDF, the tools to do that, that's open source. So anyone can write a PDF conversion tool.
Right, and that's all in the iPad and Mac. It's in Mac OS X and iOS. So,
Yeah, a lot of people have forgotten that the display subsystem for Mac OS X, when it first was released, they made a big point of letting everyone know that it's a PostScript engine running right. your display PDF. So that whole underlying PDF technology was put into Mac OS X on day one.
So I'm guessing that the way Apple is doing this is they're simply there's a little thing in the iOS. When you say print, it says, okay, make a PDF of whatever you're trying to print. Okay. Then it sends it over to the Mac via Bonjour stuff, and it's just a PDF, and then the Mac just says, here's the PDF to the printer.
Okay, see, this is the problem that I have with my theory that it's licensing, because everything that you just described sounds like open source to me.
And it sounds like stuff that Apple already does, right?
Yeah, I mean, printer sharing through Bonjour, yeah, you've been able to do that since, well, it used to be called Rendezvous, so years now.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, anyway, we will link to that 9to5 Mac article in which the files are featured. And I would just like to say, make sure your permissions are correct. So if you don't understand how to mess with permissions, get a friend to help you with it, because I think there's a possibility you could screw up your ability to print if you don't do things correctly.
Well, that would be bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing is just back up your files.
Also back up your files, of course. Yeah.
And then.
Yep. So those, but that, the link to that will be in the show notes. Now I want to bring up this
plus
thing.
Plus you're going to have a copy of 4.2, which no one has.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You have to have 4.2. I should also mention that. So when 4.2 comes out, I would say, you know, have at this thing, or if you happen to have 4.2 on your iPhone or your iPad or whatever, you know.
Do we know for certainty that Apple doesn't have the ability through the software updater for the iPad to also push little tiny files like this back into the operating system?
As far as I know, I don't think that can happen because of the way it's set up. So the idea of jailbreaking is that you enable writing on the system partition.
Right? No. I mean, when I download the updater for my iPad or my iPhone, right, it comes through iTunes. And I'm assuming it's just downloading a package, you know, like a DMG or I think it's called an IPA file or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
There's a DMG inside of that. And the IPA file is actually a zip.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a package coming down.
Yep.
Do we know that the installer that's built into iTunes, I mean, it wouldn't seem like it would be that hard to include those files in the iOS 4.2 update and then just have an instruction to the installer to say, look, these files go over here in OS 10.
Oh, so add something for your Mac with
So in
that.
Other words, are we 100% certain that AirPrint won't just magically suddenly get turned on when you update to 4.2?
I guess
we're not certain,
sure.
But it seems reasonable because the references that Apple had were pulled from the website. Now, here's another thing. If Apple put something in that little package, they'd have to put two somethings, one for Mac OS X and one for Windows.
Yeah, that's true. And they've never done that before, too, which is just another thing to point out. It's always typically they push an iOS update and then there's some sort of companion OS X update, which is why everybody's thinking that it's removed.
Right. Now,
Jobs said no, I thought.
He said, don't believe everything supposedly you read. And I think that was in response to someone asking him about Apple removing AirPrint entirely.
Right. And I never thought that AirPrint was being removed entirely. From what I understand, it's just the printer sharing part, which limits you to those 10 or so printers that HP will have that are compatible.
Right.
And is that the thing that you were alluding to, some sort of licensing BS? Because if that's the case, I'm going to be seriously pissed.
Well, see, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine HP saying, look, you can
you have
use
exclusivity.
Yeah, it has to be an exclusive thing to use our printing subsystem. Maybe
I think they could.
Well, they could, but I think that would be ridiculously foolish of them. So they still could. Maybe it was something where when they went to do the sharing, companies like And I'm just naming companies. I have nothing that tells me any of these companies would do this. But you know, like maybe Canon and Epson and Lexmark and some other companies said, look, you know, this is cool, but if you're going to allow the ePrint support, we're not going to allow licensing for the shared print driver part that you would need to be able to print to our devices.
Why would anybody do that? See,
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It sounds really stupid. And knowing how companies can do lots of stupid things,
yeah,
it makes it plausible.
I guess I'm just getting really worried that iOS 4.2 is going to be a GIMP update. Because...
Oh, I hope it's not.
Air video isn't in there yet.
Well...
Air print isn't in there now. So this is BS.
Well,
they promised a bunch of stuff and it's not showing up.
Right. So air printing is in the iOS 4.2. It's
right,
definitely in there.
But
the
only
counterpart
to an HP printer, and I'm not going to go out and buy a new HP printer.
Right. But the counterpart portion is the thing that's missing, the part on your Mac or Windows computer, right?
But the end consumer doesn't care.
Sure.
All they care is that they told me I could print from my iPad to my Mac or through my Mac or whatever, and I can't. They told me that I could stream video from my iPad to my Apple TV 2, and I can't.
Yeah. Now, as far as the AirPlay stuff goes, I don't think we know how that's going to work out yet, because as far as I can tell, we will still need an update to the Apple TV in order to send the video part.
Right.
So,
right. And I'm not saying it's out yet, but I mean, we're getting really close and Apple hasn't shown it or given it to anybody yet.
Right. And I think that if the Apple TV update doesn't come out in, you know, within a day or two of iOS 4.2, then I'm going to start getting concerned. And honestly, that could be one of the reasons why Apple's delayed 4.2, assuming they've actually delayed it past this hypothetical date of whatever last week.
Oh, right. The unicorn dancing date.
Right. Yeah.
I am just worried that, you know, stuff is not working out. And on the video front, I mean, the video thing is got to be really complicated. And if it's hiccupy at all, I would applaud Apple for not releasing it, you know, and saying, look, it just wasn't ready. That's fine. But it's just as somebody who's been waiting for 4.2 and all these cool new features, it's going to really stink if a bunch of what I consider the flagship features of 4.2, at least for me, aren't in there. That's all.
Right. Yeah.
If it turns out, and I'm not saying that they're not going to be in there, but if it turns out that AirPrint's not in there and AirVideo's not in there, then it's really just bringing multitasking and folders to my iPad.
Which Woo-hoo. Is something that's, honestly, it kind of sucks. I'm not a big fan of the multitasking on the iPad. I don't think the iPad has enough RAM in it. I think that the iPhone 4 is the only device that has enough RAM to support multitasking in a way that doesn't make me crazy, you know. I feel like my apps are always being, you know, running very slowly or launching slowly. It just seems like the experience is not as nice as it should be.
Now, if all we get in essence are app folders and multitasking, and take away my rotation lock switch.
Yeah, for real.
See the way this is going? I'm just saying I'm worried. I don't want to throw... I guess I'm going to make everybody panic. None of this stuff... We have to just wait till 4.2 comes out, and Apple has 2 weeks to still do that. Everybody needs to remember that. But it's just like, oh, man.
Yeah,
Where's all the coolness, Steve?
Yeah, if AirPlay video doesn't come out... Yeah, so we should move on, because AirPlay is actually in our set of things to talk about. So,
oh, cool.
Apple released iOS... or iTunes 10.1, of course, right, with support for iOS 4.2, as well as AirPlay, which they say it has, okay, to wirelessly stream videos from iTunes to the all-new Apple TV, which kind of takes care of one of those problems I had with the new Apple TV, which is that you had to... sign in, right, with your iTunes account on any computer you wanted to stream to the Apple TV with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this way, yeah, it's a little bit more complicated. You can't browse the collection from the Apple TV, but it might actually be a better experience, right? Because when Phil Schiller comes over with his MacBook and wants you to check out the episode of 30 Rock, instead of, you know, him coming in and saying, hey, I got this thing with 30 Rock. Okay, you know, go to this menu on the Apple TV. Okay, now click on this. Okay, here's a 4-digit code. All right, Phil, punch this into your computer. Okay, now, Steve, go into my computer and then go to TV shows and then go to 30 Rock and then click on this episode. Instead of all that, all you have to do is click on the AirPlay icon in iTunes and start playing your episode of 30 Rock.
Does that work? I haven't tried that yet.
Well, again, we're waiting for Apple TV update. Yeah, we can AirPlay.
It's not supported on the Apple TV right now.
Yeah, correct. So you can do the audio, but you can't do video.
Right. You can't do video.
Yeah. So we're waiting on an update.
But I'm trying to think of when I did the audio. I guess I already have home sharing on my network. So I never really thought, because I was confused as to what AirPlay support in iTunes 10.1 on the desktop was really bringing, because I already have access to all my music through my network. So to me, it was like just flipping the directions, right? Push versus pull. Well, now I can push stuff to the Apple TV rather than pull it from iTunes.
Right, but it makes sense for that scenario in which I described, right?
Exactly.
So when your friend comes over.
I hadn't thought about that. So, but yeah. I just want to know, I haven't tried it. I don't remember. I guess I did try streaming audio to my Apple TV, but I already had home sharing set up, so I guess I just assumed it was working through home sharing. But you're saying if I had totally disconnected my iTunes, didn't have home sharing on, it still would have worked.
Correct, yeah. Now it will.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Well, it will when we get the video part. So we can still stream music. We can't
stream. Right, but the audio would work. So right. I could walk in there with my iPhone no other connection and just say, send this over there.
Yeah. Now, it works the same way as the, what did they call AirPlay before?
AirTunes.
Yeah. It works AirTunes. The same way that AirTunes worked, right? So you can have a 4-digit PIN on your Airport Express or whatever AirTunes device. So that'll right. be an optional thing if you don't want goons coming over to your house and, you know, hopping on the network and playing things on your Apple TV.
Right.
But for the most part, it is just you're playing music, press the button on the press the AirPlay icon, select the Apple TV, and boom.
Yeah.
Now,
you shouldn't really just have goons coming over and getting on your network.
Well, you don't live in my house.
You have a locked down network if you're a smart person.
Yes, that's true.
Well, Michael might have goons coming over, but we wouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
Well, no, but I don't think. It's cool because if you already are set up with you know WPA and you already have a login required, then you can just have your friend come over that one time, you know, authorized to your wireless network, and then now, like you're saying, Michael, he's not going to have to plug in some weird code,
right?
To send music to the Apple TV or to your AirPlay devices.
Now, if one of your Goonie friends happens to have an iPhone 3G, however, AirPlay
he's out.
AirPlay won't work, right? So they removed AirPlay. Well, they apparently removed it from the iPhone 3G. So I think in the latest beta of, I think the gold master, I should say, of iOS 4.2 does not have AirPlay support in the iPhone 3G. It did before, but I guess they've decided that performance was lacking enough that they changed it. They got rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, boo on that, right?
Well, you know, it's a tough call because Apple is doing, I think, a better job at supporting their older devices than a lot of other phone manufacturers do. I mean, look, if you look at Android and the hardware and stuff like that, and which versions of operating systems it supports and how far back it goes, I think Apple is at least on par, and probably a lot better than a lot of those devices.
Well, right. At least they're not trying to include features that wouldn't perform well.
Well, there's that too. But I mean, just the fact that you can even run 4.2 on an older phone like that. I mean, you get into some other platforms and they go, "Oh, we're running 2.2, but it only works on the very latest devices."
Right. They have a really good system set up where they can disable ad hoc.
Right.
Whatever
Which
features
I think is
that
better.
Are bad.
I mean, yeah. it's better than getting nothing. And you know, we've had this problem since the iPod. You know, iPod OS always had this too, where they'd come out with new versions of the OS and you could upgrade, but there were always those one or two features that were only worked on the newer devices because of hardware configurations or just performance issues. So it's really nothing new. And I know that, you know, 3G owners are getting frustrated a little bit by some of the stuff that's missing, but
you know, it's better than Android, like you said.
It's better than Android. But the other thing is it's hard. I get where everybody's coming from, though, because you look at like OS X and the operating system on the desktop, and you get a lot more features that are supported for a lot longer. But phones, just because of their underpowered nature in comparison, I think just can't upgrade as gracefully when they kind of add in these new features.
Yeah. So according to The Telegraph, they believe that we're going to be seeing iOS 4.2 on November 24th. And Apple did, they promised 4.2 November, right? In the month of
right.
November, at some point in November. So I believe, at least according to, again, the magical unicorn dancing day, it was going to be like the 16th, I think. And that was yesterday.
Right, so we missed that.
We missed the first unicorn day. We missed yesterday dancing day. And so we're hoping for November 24th.
And I'm calling fake on that right now.
Why is that?
Okay, so keep in mind that the 24th in the United States is the day before Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving traditionally becomes a 4-day weekend. So that means they would roll out the update on a Wednesday when people are leaving work early, including at their own offices. Won't be around all day Thursday, won't be around all day Friday, and then you have the whole weekend. That just, I just can't imagine Apple dumping a big update like that on people as they're walking out the office for a 4-day weekend.
So you think they would prefer this week or
the beginning of next week, or do it at the very end of the month,
right?
After the U.S. holiday weekend,
right?
So if it comes out on the 24th, I will be very surprised.
Fair enough. So we have some more stuff to talk about. But before we do that, we have to talk about one of our wonderful sponsors, and that is Citrix with GoToAssist Express. So a lot of times when I talk about GoToAssist Express on this show, I come at it from the angle of the guy who essentially is me, the guy who supports friends and family occasionally when they call me up and say, hey, I got a problem with my computer. Can you help me out? Well, it's great for that. But it's also incredibly useful for professionals who do support either on their own. So maybe you have a small business in which you do computer support, or maybe you work for a larger company and you do tech support for them, or maybe you do software for them. It's great for all of those scenarios. So if you don't know what GoToAssist Express is, it's this wonderful system, and I don't say it's wonderful and useful and very easy because they pay me. They don't pay me for that, but they pay me for the ad. But I'm actually saying I believe this is a really good product. So what it does is you sign up, go to Assist Express, or go to assist.com/Allie is the URL that you want to go to. Sign up for free 30 days. You get 30 days free with that URL. And once you sign up, you get an application on your Mac or your PC, and that application allows you to, whenever someone calls you up or you need to support someone, you open the application, it gives you a URL, and you say, hey, go to this URL, type in this PIN code, and within about 30 seconds to a minute, they don't have to configure anything. All they do is literally go to that URL, type in the number, and hit OK. The app opens up on their computer, makes a connection with yours, and at that point, you're connected. You can see their screen. You can chat with them. You can send files back and forth. You can see. You can actually take control. That's the big deal here. You can take control of their computer in order to fix it. You get to have a full system report, so you can see stuff like what's installed, what's running, and what sort of hardware the computer is comprised of. So it's very useful for that kind of stuff. So, like I said before, you can, you know, it's great for your mom when mom calls up and, you know, oh, here's this URL, type in the number, ta-da, then you're seeing the screen and helping out. But again, it's wonderful for software support because if you've ever, you know, I worked at CompUSA for a while. That's a really good example. And people would call up all the time and they'd say, hey, you know, I have this problem with my, you know, whatever. Can you help me out? And I would have to either have a computer right in front of me and hopefully be doing the same thing as they were so I could remember which things they're clicking on, so I could tell them the next thing to click on, or I would have to just do it from memory and just kind of visualize what they're doing on their end. So with GoToAssist Express, you don't have to worry about that. You see exactly what they're doing. They can watch you. They actually learn. It's less stress for them because they're not trying to work with you and be your hands while you narrate to them. It's a much better experience. So you should try it out. GoToAssist.com/Allie is the URL if you want to get a free 30-day trial. And actually, I would say it's a pretty risk-free trial because they even email you. They're very courteous. They email you before the 30-day trial is up. A couple days beforehand, actually, they say, hey, you know, your free trial is about to run out. You're going to have to pay soon. What do you want to do? And you can log in. You say, I want to quit after the trial if you want. You can have it set up like that from day one. So you don't have to worry about them charging you. But I think that once you use this thing one time, you're going to really enjoy it. So check it out. Go to assist.com/Allie. Give it a try. It's awesome. So with that, let's move on to the experience I had a couple days ago. I went to the Apple store because I was having a problem with my iPhone 4. I've been having a problem with it basically since I got it. And that is the vibrate feature with my phone. Did we talk about this already?
Yep.
And how it's just terrible. And actually today was like the first day I actually felt the thing vibrate in my pocket. And I have it on silent a lot.
There's a joke in there.
Yeah, somewhere. it's in my pants, right? So I went to the Apple store And actually, I went with my friend Omar as well, and he's complaining of the same issue, and we both got our iPhones from the same Best Buy, so we figure, okay, so maybe it's just a batch of iPhones with weak vibrates. So we go in there, and he actually thinks that the vibrate is less intense when you set the phone on a surface. So with previous versions, you could really hear it if it's set on a surface because, you know, it buzzes against whatever surface, but it seems to be even weaker when you set it down. So we thought maybe it's an accelerometer issue. You know, he was talking to a genius about it. He said, okay, I'll check it out. They can actually take off the back and look at the vibrate motor just by taking off the back. So the genius took it back in the back and checked it out and said, nope, no problem. It's exactly the way it should be. There's nothing we can do. And so then I took a different strategy and I talked to a different genius and, you know, said, hey, let's compare my phone to the phones you guys have. And let's compare it to, I mean, the ones on the floor, and then also compare it to the one you probably have in your pocket. And all down the board, every single one has the same weak vibrate. And I'm guessing that, you know, if you know how a vibrate motor works, it's a very small electrical motor with a weight at the end. So it's on one side. So when it spins, it vibrates because it's unbalanced, right? So I'm guessing that because of how thin the iPhone 4 is, mm-hmm. they just simply have a smaller weight on there, right? So my conclusion is, the iPhone 4's vibrate sucks across the board. And so I'm kind of upset, but I don't think I could go back to my 3GS. I got my iPhone 4 on October 27th, but I don't think I could stand being without it because it's so much faster.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm laughing at the thought of downgrading just to get a better vibrate.
Well, I mean, I can't feel it in my pocket. I can't get, when someone calls me or texts me, a lot of times I don't respond until I pull it out to look at some Wikipedia entry, you know?
Yeah.
So if you haven't gotten an iPhone 4, I guess, and you're still thinking about it and this vibrate thing matters to you, then there you go. There's a reason to not get the iPhone 4, but I think I'm probably going to stick with mine. Or maybe I'll open it up and add some weight to it. We'll see.
maybe there's an opportunity there for like an iPhone 4 like pocket stone or something like that. That's just a little Bluetooth vibrate device that you can stick in your other pocket.
That would be clever.
Yeah.
Actually, you can buy a thing from ThinkGeek. It's like a Bluetooth wristband. And so it looks sort of like a bracelet or a watch. Up.
That's right, yeah.
It vibrates too.
Yeah, you guys just got me to buy something else from ThinkGeek last week. I'm going to be buying more.
You know what they just announced today that they finally have?
What's that?
Unicorn meat.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. And that's vegan friendly, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're
only
talking about the
parts of the unicorn.
Yeah, only the best. But the Blue Alert Bluetooth bracelet, is that what you're talking about?
That's the one.
Hmm. That looks pretty cool. Tells you who's calling. Keeps you from losing your phone. Does it have a vibrate? I don't think so.
I thought it had a vibrate on it.
I'm searching for the word vibrate in this thing, and it doesn't say vibrate, so I'm thinking not.
Sorry.
So it has that other feature when you walk too far away from your phone, it'll start
beeping,
lighting up or buzzing or whatever. Yeah.
Sure.
Cool. So you don't leave it at a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a clever idea.
The other thing that I want that they just added is the Star Trek pizza cutter.
What's that? Tell me more.
Oh, yeah.
How does that work?
It's a pizza cutter in the shape of the Enterprise. You know, like a pizza wheel cutter.
Yeah, and so you hold the secondary hull and the main hull, the big saucer. That
cuts your pizza.
Cuts your pizza.
Oh, here. Okay, no, there's a Star Trek Enterprise bottle opener I'm seeing.
There's that, too.
Klingon
corkscrew.
It's right
on the homepage, third, fourth item in.
Here we go. Star Trek Enterprise pizza cutter. Okay, I think I need to get that.
You're welcome.
We need to get Think Geek as a sponsor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just bought those whiskey stones.
Those
are cool.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Netflix
back to the
Think Geek.
Yeah, back to the iPhone stuff. So what else do we have here? Hints of the... Oh, I did also want to talk about one other thing with the Vibrate feature. If you do jailbreak, and I haven't tried this yet, but I remember working with this, there is a plist in which the settings exist for the Vibrate. So depending on which type of alert, you can tell it... you can say, I want three instances of a Vibrate of this type for this kind of alert. So when you get a phone call, for example, you get like buzz, 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 or something like that. So you can change the duration of each buzz, and you can change how many you get. So I'm going to get in there, and I think you can actually tweak the intensity too. So I'm going to play with that, and if I can actually do something meaningful with it, I'll get back to you guys on that. How's that?
That sounds great.
Okay. So do we want to talk about the iTunes live stream service thing? Hints at an iTunes live service.
Are we still believing that?
The
ITLS. Everybody was just so disappointed. Huh?
Well, that's what it's called. The so it's a URI scheme, right? ITLS instead of ITMS.
This is the thing that was built that's in 10.1. Is that right?
Correct. Do you think we're going to see
it? Everybody thinks it means that we're going to get a cloud iTunes streaming service.
Right.
You know, it could also be part of the protocol that's used for streaming content from iTunes to an Apple TV.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It seems much more logical.
Yeah.
I think we're a ways off from getting, you know, like Lala, what's the service over in the UK? You know, that streaming.
Spotify. Yeah.
Spotify style
now,
service.
Now, Spotify's promising end of the year, but they've also promised several dates that they've missed.
Well, oh, sorry, I should caveat. I mean, I think we're a long ways from getting it from Apple. And I think it's about licensing and deals with the record labels.
Right, and we haven't really heard a lot about any sort of deals that have been recently made or that would enable this.
Except that one big one.
Oh.
That was announced.
Yeah, you know, the what is
yesterday?
That? Some artist that nobody cares about? What is that? Some band? What is that?
I'm betting you're going to get at least one email where someone goes, really, Michael? That's sacrilege.
I know. No, I love the Beatles. I absolutely love the Beatles. But honestly, show of hands, how many people ran out immediately to? How many of you guys out of us?
Okay. Now, to be fair, well, you've seen my Beatles library. So there's really not much point for me to go buy stuff.
Right. I have my complete Beatles library.
However,
well, I don't. And I'm actually thinking about now that box set is really attractive at $150 for someone who doesn't own any Beatles but likes the Beatles.
Yes. And it's clearly very attractive to a lot of people because that, among several other Beatles albums, shot up to some of the top sales at the iTunes store on the day that all that stuff became available. So even though there's a lot of us going, really, that's the big announcement? Huh. It looks like it's a big deal for some people.
I would say that it is. It must be a big deal for some people.
It's a big deal for Apple and Steve Jobs. And I mean, they've been trying to get that deal done like for forever, right? So it's sort of like the final burying of the hatchet with Apple and Apple Corps and all that stuff. So I think it was, you know, more significant for Apple maybe than a lot of people. But I think there's a lot of consumers out there too. And it was very significant for the Beatles because they got a lot of marketing and promotion out of it.
And it's
that'll
significant
last for a while.
Yeah, and it's significant in that this is the first time that the Beatles library has been available for legitimate download.
Right. So this is not only is it a first for Apple, but they're not available anywhere else but iTunes, correct?
Yeah, it's exclusive, right? For do we know how long? Through
till sometime in 2011. Don't know how far.
Wow. And even if it's till January, I mean that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Now do they have the mono and the stereo or is it
just stereo?
Okay. So I have all the mono. I got the mono box set.
That's very cool, actually. Because, you know, all that music, well, at least the earlier music, was all mixed, assuming that it would be listened to mono.
Right, yeah, it was all, it was recorded and set up. Was it mastered that way? I'm not really up on the terms, so, but it was originally released in mono, and the intention was mono.
Right, and then because they knew people were going to be listening to this on AM radio, and then later on when they started doing stereo mixes, it was basically you'd have like guitars in one channel and then drums and bass in the other channel.
Right, it seemed like a kind of an afterthought stuff. So basically,
it
what
was
I,
clearly an afterthought. Yeah.
So what I did was I just went with the mono, except for the was it the last two or three. Studio albums were in stereo, like actually made,
right? They were supposed to be stereo,
right? Yeah, so that's how I have it set up in my iTunes. So I we don't really have a whole lot more to talk about, except for I want to mention the incident. You guys know, I think I actually
the game?
That was my pick, right? A couple weeks
ago.
Yeah,
your pick a while ago.
Yeah,
you've done it twice, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I have.
Well, I kind of sub-picked it when they came out with the iPad version.
Oh, yeah.
With the
okay.
iPhone, or the iPad update with the iPhone controller
right.
support.
Yeah. So another cool thing that they're about to add, Nevin Morgan, the developer, one of the developers, showed off in a video a video out support for the incident. So while that's kind of like, who cares, because you'd have to stand right next to your TV and plug it in. If you realize that you can control it with your iPhone or your iPod, that it becomes really cool. So the video is of him with his iPad plugged into the TV. So full screen incident on the TV. And then he's sitting on his couch with his iPod controlling the game wirelessly.
Okay, that's cool.
It's really cool. So there's a link to that. It's in the show notes. And the updated version is due out at some point. They're actually planning to release this, so it will be a thing that you can do. So if you already have the incident, it will be included in that. So, you know, check it out when that does come out. And with that, I think we should move swiftly to our iDevice picks. Adam, would you like to go first?
Sure. Yeah, I was going to pull it up in iTunes and figure out what the price is because I don't remember.
Oh, you can. I'll pull it up for you.
The app I have for you today. Do you guys drink wine at all?
Yes.
Very occasionally.
Is a wine management software called simply Cellar.
Okay.
And what I like about it is, well, one, it's just beautiful. I mean, the design of it is really, really great. But it's very simple in terms of the concept. And the idea is just to keep track of the wines that you buy, the wines that you want to buy, the wines that you have drank, and whether you liked it or didn't like it. So when you launch the app, you get your cellar where you would have bottles that you've purchased and are waiting to drink. And then you also have a couple other areas. You have your wish list, which is stuff when you're in the store, you can, you know, add that to your list, or if somebody tells you about something. You have the garage, which is after you drink a bottle, and it has a really easy way to just mark a bottle and say, okay, I drank this, and it'll automatically move it over to either your garage, which means this is a bottle that I want to keep track of and I might want to buy again later, or you can move it to the trash, which is almost even more important to me, where it still gets saved in your library, but you can go back and you can go, oh yeah, that was that bottle, I really didn't like that. And some of the really cool features that it has, though, beyond that are rather than, so when you go to enter a bottle, whether it's your wish list or your cellar or whatever, you can take a picture with the iPhone, but you don't just take a picture of the bottle. What it actually allows you to do is take a picture of the label. And then they have kind of virtual bottles that it will actually wrap the label onto. So you can get the right shape, the right color of the bottle, even down to the right foil on the top to match the bottle. But then you get a really good image of the label, which is what's really important, because that's the thing. I don't know if you guys are like me. I'm really visual. I like to have that to jog my memory.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
well, this is cool. Does it have a big list of pre?
No, it's not for that. It's just for managing. It's just literally for. It's not for discovery or finding. They don't have any of that features in there. It's for you're at a party. Someone says, "Hey," or you're at a party. Either somebody tells you about a wine, or you try a wine. You can, you know, add that to your wish list really quick. So it's just like your little personal list, and then you can add tasting notes. You can add ratings. You can put in the price. It'll keep track of how much you're buying and spending, how much is in your cellar, how much you've actually drank in terms of cost, all those kinds of fun things. You can organize by region, vintage, price, ratings. It's a really basic, simple app. But yeah, no, it's not like some of the other apps that, you know, go into having the wine ratings and stuff like that. This is really about your personal collection. So I kind of, to me, it's kind of like Delicious Library for wine on your iPhone. If I could describe it.
Yeah, yeah. This looks really cool. So it's by AirSource, right? Seller by AirSource.
Yep.
So it's $4.99.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And
another reason why I bought it when I saw it, one, because it looked really nice, and then two, because it was finally an iPhone app that I thought was priced right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to support that kind of pricing for the developer. So $5 sounds like a lot, but it's really well done. And I think developers who put this kind of thought and into the design and just flow of their app should be rewarded for that. So
yeah, absolutely. And it looks like there's even a backup feature in there too. Do you know about that?
Yeah, export out to... I haven't tried the backup feature yet, but basically it'll set up the web dev, you know, local wireless server that you can connect to with a web browser.
So you can...
And then offload your file.
Cool. That's a really good feature. There are a lot of applications out there that have a lot of important data that you store in them, and a lot of times there's no way to back that up. So that's a good feature. So it's called Seller. It's $5. The interface looks great. And so check it out.
Yeah, and it has stats and cool noises and all that stuff. And you can turn the noises off, too, if you're annoyed by those. But.
Cool. Jeff, what is your iPhone pick?
I'm going with a game this week.
All right.
And, Icon Factory has a new game out called Astronut.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a fun little game. It's designed for the iPhone and iPod Touch, and it has Retina display quality graphics. It's a very simple little game. The concept is you're a little astronaut just kind of zipping around through space, and you need to land on asteroids and things to throw yourself in the direction you need to go, and you want to collect these little, I think they call them star shards, little pieces of stars. And when you collect all of the pieces on the level you're on, you advance to the next level. Of course, there's places where you can recharge yourself, and there's places where you have to watch out because there'll be nasty aliens that want to kill you. And that's it. That's the whole thing right there. It's really easy to play. It's really easy to figure out. And it's surprisingly addictive, like so many of these easy, well-thought-out games are. And it's just a lot of fun. And so you can try it out without having to spend any money, because when you download it, it's free, and it includes the first four levels. And if you decide that you really like it, great. Then you spend $2, and you get the extra 20 levels that go along with the rest of the game.
That sounds awesome. I didn't know it was free. I got the email about it, but it's... It looks fantastic. I'm downloading it now.
Yeah, it's a fun little game, and it has Game Center support too.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. And it even all these graphics. The graphics are just phenomenal looking.
They did a great job with the graphics.
Yeah,
it's a very pretty game. It's like fun cartoon looking graphics that they just work really well.
Yeah. So it's called Astronut. Astronut, and it's free. So check it out right now. My pick is something I've been playing with for a while. I wanted to make sure it was good, and it is. It's called ZumoCast. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
I have heard about that.
I think that one
I
of our...
tried it, though.
I think one of our listeners sent me this, and I'm really...
It's,
sorry, I can't remember who sent this to me, but I'm sure you'll email me and let me know. But so I was complaining a few weeks ago about how, Simplify Media is no longer available for the iPhone. So Simplify allowed you to stream audio, stream your music collection from your computer over to your iPhone or your iPad or iPod Touch or whatever. So ZumoCast is an app that does that. So what you do is you load the application on whichever computers you want to stream from, and then you download the free application. The entire service is free. I don't know how they do this, but I guess it's because you're using your own bandwidth. So once you have that all set up, you have it on your computer, you have it on your iPhone, it syncs up the list of music, and you can actually have, you can stream from more than one computer. So you can stream audio and video. So you just basically open up ZumoCast, select artists, you have a big list of all the artists available in your iTunes, you pick whatever you want, you can see the album, click on the album, click on the song that you want, and it starts playing, just like the iPod app. And it plays through the album. So you can listen to an entire album with ZumoCast. It has background audio support, so you can jump out of there, go to something else, browse the web, whatever. Music keeps playing. It's really cool. Like I said, it's free. It works exactly the way you want it to. The only thing is you have to have your computer at home turned on, right? Because you're streaming from there. Otherwise, I think there's a setting that I turned on, high quality audio on 3G. You might want to turn that off if you know, you would prefer quicker track changes. You know, so when you select a new track, it takes a second or two to buffer. But otherwise, it's really great. They just put out an update which improved the features. There were some odd bugs and whatnot, and for the most part, it's great, and it's available for the iPod or for the iPhone and the iPad, of course, the iPod Touch, and it streams audio as well as video. So if you have an iPhone 4 or an iPad, you can do video out to your computer. So you can stream video that way as well. So it's called ZumoCast, ZumoCast, and it's free.
And it does the directory thing, so like through your account, it finds over the internet, so you don't have to deal with the firewall and all that crud, right?
Right, yeah, I didn't have to mess with any firewall stuff, yeah. Yeah, it's really great, and I think
ports
you actually...
And port forwarding and all that.
Yeah, I didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Ooh, huh. See, I used, I have been using Air Video, and I think I made that one of my pick a while back, but that only does video, it doesn't do the audio.
Right,
as
yes.
As far as I know.
Yeah, so I'm going to be putting, I have Air Video on my iPad, I'm going to be adding ZumoCast to that collection, because Air Video does a wonderful job with that converting on the fly stuff.
Does ZumoCast says they do that on their website. Have you had a chance to play with that yet?
I have not played with it yet.
Okay. Because I just literally tried. I had not tried because somebody was asking me about it. I tried playing an MKV file through Air Video to my iPhone, and it worked great. I mean, it took a while for it to do the even on, you know, to buffer the on the fly conversion, but it worked great. And ZumoCast is saying they do support that. Also.
Oh, cool! So. Yeah, it also supports transferring of files. So you can, for whatever, if you want to, you can download files to ZumoCast. I believe the intention there is to actually, like, download video or audio, probably video, so you don't have to stream it, right?
So you can put it in the cloud, or you can download it to your device for offline?
You download it to your device for offline.
Ah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep.
You have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're looking for a solution for streaming audio from your computer to your iPhone or iPad or whatever, I would say so far this is the best one I've tried since Simplify Media. So check it out. And with that, we will, I will say that the iPhone picks and our show notes are at wehavecommunicators.com. So find the episode, click on it. There's all the show notes, as well as links to our picks and all the stuff that we talk about during the show. You can also leave comments there. We love to see comments there on the specific episodes. If you have any feedback or questions or comments on that, you can put it there. You can also send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That is the email address, or the phone number is 202-642-6667. And again, all that stuff is on the website, so you can check it out there. No big deal. You don't have to write it down while you're driving. And of course, you can find Adam Christensen at the MattCast, which is MattCast.com and Twitter.com/MattCast. And yeah, there's the member show at member.mattcast.com.
Yep.
And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com. He's on Twitter at Twitter.com/JGamet. And his drawings, which I guess most of which are done during the show. I think you sent me one about 20 minutes ago, right?
Yeah, actually I did. Yeah.
Cool. So a lot of that stuff is on like mugs and hats and shirts and thongs, stuff like that. Cafepress.com/JGamet as well as Zazzle.com/JGamet. News on the mug, maybe?
News on the mug is I'm sorry, it's a little bit delayed. I got really nasty sick and couldn't work on anything for like over a week. But I am on the mend, and so I'm planning on finishing up the vectorizing and stuff that I need to do over the next couple days. So we are mere days away from being able to buy mugs.
Cool. All right. That sounds great. My Twitter is twitter.com/MichaelJohnston, and I would like you to check out my little review Twitter, where I review various things like music, movies, food I like, stuff like that. They're very small reviews. That's why it's called Lil Reviews, L-I-L Reviews. And with that, we will see you next time on We Have Communicators.
Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No.